word. And when this word is revealed, it becomes power. Amen? Come on. So I want you to quickly lift your hands all across this place. Holy Spirit, we want to welcome you. Thank you so much that this morning we're not expecting a wind. We're not expecting a dove or just a fire. But we're expecting a person, the third person of the Godhead, the power from heaven. Lord Jesus, you promised us that we will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And we pray that this morning will be a morning of power. Let your gifts manifest in this place. As your word says that you give to each one for the profit of all. I thank you in Jesus' name that each one will profit because of the gifts. But this morning I pray that the fruit will be evident in the name of Jesus. Fill this place with your power. Come on, you tell the Holy Spirit you are welcome. Do whatever you want to do. I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to receive. And we pray, forgive us if we've grieved you, if we've wronged you, if we've hurt you. Thank you that you'll never become an enemy of us, but that you will flow with us and help us, sustain us, protect us, lead us, and guide us. Oh, beautiful Holy Spirit, we honor you. In Jesus' name we honor you. Amen and amen. Come on, give him another shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus. You may take your seat. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit so strong already flowing in this place. What a privilege. Who feels the presence of God already in this place? Amen. I want to give you a quick key before I'm going to get to the word. The secret is always to find Jesus in whatever you do. Whether it's worship, find him in the worship. Because when you find Jesus in the worship, it's no longer just songs that you sing, but it becomes worship. Amen. In the word, when the word is preached, find Jesus in the word. Because then you'll receive fresh revelation. You need Jesus in everything you do. Come on, when you pray, find Jesus in your prayer. Jesus, because of him, we live and move and have our being. Come on, is somebody listening to me this morning? And I promise you this, I've seen this. I've seen it around the world, that the Lord moves wherever there's a hunger. And there's no greater time ever than now to be hungry for the power and the Spirit of God. And I don't know, I don't even have to say this. It's just a fact that we're living in a day where we're going to see the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God. Around the world, the Lord is busy preparing people for the greatest move of the Spirit. You better hear me. There's a revival coming and the world cannot stop it. And it's going to be the greatest revival of souls. You better hear me. Your children will be saved. Your family will be saved. Come on, your loved ones will be saved. If you think about the Holy Spirit's job on earth, is to win the lost at any cost. And this is the stage we are moving in. We all know that Billy Graham just went home to be with the Lord. And I don't care what Google says, Billy Graham has went home to be with the Lord. And we all know it was prophesied years ago, and it's prophesied today, that two soldiers, two generals of the kingdom of God, when God removes them from earth, the greatest revival will break out. Oral Roberts, he's gone. And Billy Graham went to be with the Lord. And that was prophesied. If two of them is gone, we're going to see a move of the Spirit. And I've said to the Lord, 99 years of age. And then he went home. The Lord waited until the final stages. And when he said, all right, it's ready, he took his servant home. And now the outpouring is coming. I said it, this year is the year of the Holy Spirit. Who remember that January? In fact, 31st December, I prophesied, as I said, this is going to be the year of the Holy Spirit and of power. Amen? Holy Spirit and fire. Who remember that? Come on, we are entering that year of the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen? If you believe it, shout yes. Yes. Now, I want you to, we are still in the month of February, and Wednesday evening, in fact, those of you who miss this Wednesday evenings, you don't know what you're missing out on. My goodness, it's powerful. This Wednesday evening, it was so powerful. People didn't want to go home. I've said over the mic, okay, you can leave now. They didn't want to. And I don't blame them. I said to the Lord, I think I must bring in my bed and make home here. Just here. This is holy ground. Amen. And Wednesday evening, I've taught on something about the Spirit of God. And I want to I felt led by the Spirit of God to continue on that. Is that okay? Because I believe there's many that sits here that needs to hear this message. And we were speaking about the gifts of the Spirit of God. Who remembers that? The gifts of the Spirit of God, the 9 gifts that's needed now more than ever before. We need to be in full operation of the gifts of God. And we started off with the power gifts, the gift of faith, the gifts of healings and miracles. And I'm still there because I want to speak to you about the gift of faith this morning, but also about the fruit of faith, as well as the measure of faith. And I want to teach you, thank you, George. I want to teach you this morning how to walk effectively in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you ready? Yes. You have to get ready. Amen. So I want you to turn with me to the book of John and chapter 15. John 15. John 15 and verse 5 to 7. I want to ask you to please take some notes. Just go through your Bible and study these verses, these scriptures. This is very important. This, like I said this morning I'm going to teach on the gift of faith. Who wants the gift of faith, by the way? Can I see your hand? Who wants the fruit of faith? Lift your hand. Come on, who wants your measure of faith to be turned around? Now, I want to quickly just say this free of charge. This is fact. Every single time I preach on something, I'm always tested on what I'm preaching here. Every single time. If I teach you about faith, I promise you, then everything is lining up. Then I have to trust God for major things. If I'm talking about healings, then in my own personal life, I have to have faith for healing. So in other words, God always tests me or allow the testings to come in whatever I preach. Amen? Come on. Every single prophecy, who received the prophecy in this place? One, or not, maybe not here, but in your life, you received the prophecy. A prophecy is a sign of what you have to go through first. In other words, if your prophecy, the word that you receive prophetically, is a big word, you have to prepare for big shakings. Because the storm will always be before the prophecy. Come on, I'm speaking to you right now. But this morning I'm going to teach you and help you how to walk in faith and not by sight. Come on, because the righteous, we walk by faith. I want you to say this, I walk by faith. Come on, say this again. And not by sight. You see, if you walk by faith, you don't need sight. And if you walk by sight, you don't need faith. So I'm talking to the real people. Come on, to those who are filled with the Spirit of God, born again, who's walking by faith and not by sight. Amen? Am I in the right place this morning? Now the Bible says in the book of John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them in the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. Isn't that powerful? I want to quickly read you another one. This is in the book of Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to read from verse 15 right up to 23. This is Matthew 7. Please follow me. Matthew 7 verse 15. And then I'm going to get to the preaching side. All right. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Oh, I like that one. The Bible doesn't say you will know them by their gifts. It says you will know them by their fruits. Come on, do you hear me? I need this to get into your spirit, man, right now. You will know them by their fruit. It says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Come on, this is the words of Jesus, not Vessel. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now let's get to the preaching side. I want to quickly help you on the gift of faith before we're going to carry on. The gift of faith, please turn with me to the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. People need to hear me. I want to ask you, borrow me your eyes. Go study verse 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's only one thing that pleases Him. It's your faith. Come and say with me, my faith. That's what pleases God. God is not moved by your need. Let's say that straight. He loves you. He cares about you. But that's not what moved God. God is moved by your faith. Come on, God is moved by your faith. Did you know that you have to move your faith? And when you move your faith, God is moved by your faith. And that's the only way that we can please God. That's the only way that we can please God. But scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is speaking about the gift of faith. The gift of faith, any single gift that the church has received is not for self. The gift that's upon my life is not for me, it's for you. And the simple reason is, if the giftings was for me, I no longer need God. In other words, when I'm sick, I lay hands on myself, I heal myself. Hello. I prophesy, I do everything for myself because no longer do I need God. This is why gifts is not for self, it's to edify the body. There's no scripture that says it's there to edify self. It says it's there to edify the church. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And I thank God for His gifts that flows in this place. You're in the right place at the right time. Amen. Hallelujah. So the giftings comes for a reason and for a season. The gift of faith is not something that comes on you and stays on you forever. The gift of faith comes and it lifts. It is exactly like the scripture says. He says, he speaks about in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it speaks about the gifts of the Spirit. And the scripture says that the Holy Spirit distributes to each one according to His will. Now, Paul comes and he says, desire the greatest gift. Do we know the greatest gift is a gift that's needed for the hour? So in other words, when I minister healing to you, something, there's a gift that must be or will always accompany the gift of healings and miracles. That's the gift of faith. Come on, I want to give you a quick example in this place. Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. Waters is filling this boat. And the disciples are running around crying out, Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? They wake Him up. He stood up and He said, where is your faith? And I've said this over and over. The reason why Jesus asked them, where's your faith? What is Jesus actually asking them? Did you leave your faith on the shore? Come on, did your faith sink in the ocean? He's actually trying to tell them, your faith is in the back of the boat. Amen. Their faith was just sleeping. Jesus rose up and He said, peace, be still. That's the gift of faith in operation. If you are able to stop the storms, that's the gift of faith. Come on, am I speaking to you right now? And it comes on you to accommodate the gift of miracles and of healings. But the gift of faith should be understood in a powerful way. He says, now faith is a substance. That word substance is a certainty that it's done. Amen. Now faith. And now I've got your attention. Say with me, now faith. Now. Come on again, now faith. Now. In other words, the gift of faith is always in the now. Faith should always be in the now. If it's not now, it's not faith. Do you know what? People can differ with me, but I hate it. Yeah, I said hate it. When people come to a place, maybe it's not God's time. When is God's time? He's not the God that will be. He's not the God that was. He says, I am that I am. I am means right now. Come on, I want you to jump to your feet very quickly and say it's right now. Come on, jump. Come, say, God is the God of the now. Come on, I want everybody together. Come on, God is the God of the now. Do you believe that? Yes. Not tomorrow. Whether He's already in tomorrow, He operates in the now. And the only thing that's going to move Him from His realm of time, He sits outside of time, but He will step into your time when you understand He's the God of the now. He doesn't want you healed when you get to heaven. He wants you healed. Now. He doesn't want to give you breakthrough when you get to heaven. He wants to give you breakthrough now. He's the God of the now. While you're standing, I prophesy this, that suddenly God will step into your time. Come on, and change everything. Who believes that in this place? Because He's the God of the now. Come on, I want you, before you take your seat, I want you to get rid of the thinking that He will do it someday. It is finished. Jesus didn't hang on the cross and say to be continued. Am I speaking to somebody? Get your mindset right. The first way to walk in power is to change your mindset. Come on, I said change your mindset. You have to move God. How do I move him? I move him in faith. Come on. If you can just get up and start to walk in faith, don't ever wonder where God is. He'll be there. He's moved by faith. Come on, the God of the now. Come, give him a shout if you believe it. Hallelujah. Okay, you take your seats. But he's the God of the now. He's the God of the now. So scripture says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, the gift of faith doesn't need sight. Let me rephrase, not just the gift of faith. No faith needs sight. Scripture says, now faith is the substance. The word substance also means title deed. In other words, your name has been written on the title deed of the things that you do not see with your natural eye. That house that you need to buy, you don't see it on your name already. But in your spirit eye, your name has already been written on the title deed. So scripture says, Jesus said the following. He said, if you have seed or faith as a mustard seed, you'll be able to tell a mountain, be thou removed. And if you believe it, it shall be done. Jesus was speaking about the gift of faith. Because Paul comes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He says, it doesn't matter, I have the gift to move mountains, but lack in love. So Jesus was speaking about the gift of faith in full operation. I want to give this to somebody. When the gift of faith comes, nothing is impossible. When the gift of faith touches your life, in that very instance, nothing is impossible. And I've seen this, even with the raising of dead. If you go to raise the dead, but you and the Lord knows your heart, to be seen, the dead will remain the dead. But when that gift comes upon you, come on, and you grab that man by the hand, and you say, rise in Jesus' name. And your heart is pure before the Lord. He knows it's not about you. That guy will sit up straight. Am I speaking to you? Amen. In Jesus' name. Because the gift of faith will come upon you. And this is when Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible for you. Come on, say this with me. Nothing shall be impossible. So before we're going to continue, we need to understand the gift of faith is something that comes upon me for a reason and for a season. It's not for me to boast in myself. It comes upon me to edify the body of Christ. Amen. And that gift of faith is coming on people this morning. Paul says that the gift can be laid, you can lay hands on or get the hands laid on you, and that gift can transfer. Amen. But did you know that the fruit of faith cannot be transferred? The gift comes through the power or the anointing. The anointing stirs up the gifts. Am I speaking to somebody? But the fruit only comes through the presence. If I put a Christmas tree before you, for the religious spirit now, and I put gifts under the gift or under the tree, I put an iPhone under the tree, and Christmas Day comes and you take your gift, you can take that gift, remove it from the tree, and you can go anywhere in the world and the gift will work. You don't need, this is what people don't understand. The gifting has nothing to do with the tree, but the fruit has everything to do with the tree. Amen. You can remove the gift from the tree and use your iPhone in Japan land, and it will work. You don't need the tree for the gift to be in operation. This is why Jesus said that many people will stand before him and say, Lord, in your name we have healed the sick, and he'll say, who are you? I never knew you. Because in heaven, you're not going to receive a reward for your gift. You're going to receive a reward for your fruit. Amen. You can have the gift and still go to hell. What about you on this side? You can have the gifts, but still go to hell. But if you have fruit, I said, if you have fruit, why? Because a gift is just a sign that God can use a man. But fruit is a sign that man has been with God. You display the person that you have spent time with. And now, so that's the gift of faith. Quickly listen to me. The fruit of faith, this is what the book of Galatians talks about. That Paul comes and he says that gives us the fruit, the nine fruits. And one of the fruits is, now think about this, is powerful. It speaks about two things. Faithfulness, or the word speaks about two things. the fruit of faithfulness, and then they translate it back to the fruit of faith. Have you noticed that if people is not faithful, they lack fruit? Any faithful person in whatever you do has been with the Lord, because that is one of his that's part of his character, to be faithful. God is faithful. Where am I speaking to somebody? He's faithful. So when you are faithful, it's a sign that you've been with the Lord. But he speaks also about the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith cannot be, I cannot lay my hands on you and say, receive the fruit of faith. The fruit of faith, the fruit of the Spirit only comes through abiding in the vine. Because without him, you can do nothing. This is why the Bible says, if you are not attached to the vine, you are actually detached, and then you'll wither away. This is why many people, they start off good. They serve the Lord in power. But somewhere along the line, they have been detached from the Lord Almighty, and they wither away. In other words, your hunger ceases. Come on, I said, your hunger ceases. People told me the other day, you have to slow down. You're going to burn yourself out. My man, you better hear me. As long as I am attached to the vine, it's impossible to burn out. You don't wither away when you are attached. You wither away when you are detached. In other words, when you don't need the Lord no longer, that's when you are detached. And when you are detached, you start to walk in the flesh. And then you get tired. Come on, the man that's preaching here is the Holy Spirit. Come on, it's the Holy Spirit speaking the words. And as long as you are attached to him, you'll stay on fire. Come on, as long as you're attached, there will be a hunger. This is why people go to church when they want to, because there's no relationship. It's deep, but people need to hear this. The fruit, you shall be known by your fruit. And the fruit, as long as you are attached. Now, it says, because you cannot do anything without me. That's deep. And then he says, if you stay in me and I in you, you can ask whatever you want. The fruit of faith is a childlike faith. It's a faith that, remember what Jesus said, if you do not have faith like a child, you'll never enter into the kingdom of God. Who remembered? Jesus said that. And now the fruit of faith is speaking about a childlike faith. I want to quickly help you out. Who's got a child in this place? Who's the parent? Nobody? All right. So if you promise your kids, tomorrow morning, I'm going to buy you a bicycle. What will they do? Tomorrow morning, they're on your bed. Where's my bicycle? Okay, that was my house apparently. Whatever you promise your kids, they're going to take to heart. I said to somebody Wednesday evening, after the service, the person said to me, Vesel, many times when I pray, I feel good, and then I stand up and then I doubt. I wonder what's happening. What am I going to do? And I said to him, my friend, tell me, your child, is he worried about what he's going to eat tomorrow morning? He said, absolutely not. I said, what do you think your child is doing right now? He said, sleeping. I said, awesome. I said, why? Why is your child not tossing and turning? Why is your child not worried where the food will come from? And he said to me, because my child knows tomorrow morning there will be bread, because his father will provide for him. I didn't answer him. Tears started running down his cheeks. And he said, I've got it. I answered myself. This is how the Lord wants you to be. You don't have to worry about where the bread will come from tomorrow. He'll provide for you. Come on. I said, he will provide for you. He's a good father. He's a good father. Say with me, he's a good father. So that kind of faith comes through spending time in the Lord. This is why many people don't understand this. The Bible says, Paul says, the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. How do you pray effectively? Let me tell you how you pray effectively. By faith. If your prayers is filled with faith, it's effectively. Nothing shall be impossible for the one who walks in faith. Nothing shall be impossible. So what people do is, if I take you, this is a nice example. If I take you into my car, and I say to you, come on, get in. And I drive on the highway, 260 kilometers per hour. You and the devil is going to jump out. Because you don't know my ability in driving. If you understand what I'm saying, wave at me. Come on, if you understand what I'm saying. I can take you into my car, we can go onto the highway, 260 kilometers per hour. You're going to be afraid. You're going to ask me, please just stop. The devil's going to ask me, please stop. Because you don't know my ability of driving.
But now we are spending time, and suddenly you understand, I'm not just Wessel de Bruyne, I'm actually Michael Schumacher. Then you're going to sit back and say, my goodness, trap on booty. Amen? Because now you understand my ability. It's exactly how the fruit of faith is developed. The longer you spend time with God, the longer you understand how He can provide. Now you pray effectively, you pray with faith. And when you say amen, you know you've got a Father in heaven who cares about you, who will never leave you, nor ever will He forsake you. And you know that you can go to bed tonight and tomorrow morning, it shall be taken care of. The reason why many people don't receive breakthrough is because many people try to figure it out by themselves. He is God Almighty. Come on, He is Jehovah. Not you. Come on, He's the King. He's the Rock of Ages. Come on. He'll provide for you. He's a good Father. So long you spend time, let me help you understand this. God, it pleases Him so much when you have children. Come on, in actual fact, sons that cries out and say, I believe. Nothing's impossible. You'll do it, Lord. You'll never leave me. Come on, You will never forsake me. When Lazarus was dead for 4 days, think about this. Dead for 4 days, but nothing is impossible with the Lord. Nothing. On the fourth day, he rose from the dead. Lazarus, on the fourth day, his body was stinking. Your situation can be stinking right now. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. And if you have faith in Him, He'll never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. But church, God is calling the church right now for the fruit of the Spirit to abide in Jesus Christ now more than ever. And if people can just wake up and understand, the fruit will always show you things in the Spirit, whether it is from God or whether it's not. You haven't heard me. People that just follow the giftings, you don't see the fruit. The only thing you see is the gift, the gift, the gift, the gift. But if you have both, the fruit will always show you. Because Paul says one of the fruits is faith, but the other one is love. But what does Paul say is love? Come on, come on, let's go there. Can we go there? The book of Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I want to quickly get your focus on the following. It says that the fruit is love. One of the fruits is love. Say with me, it's love. Love. But hear this. Love suffers long. Yes. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Any man with fruit. Have I answered you? Any man with fruit does not. Or any man with fruit, his love suffers long. His love is kind. His love does not envy. If there's envy, there's a lack of fruit. You can have the gift and envy, but you cannot have the fruit and envy. This is a sign who walks with fruit and who doesn't. Let's just quickly go on. It says, love does not parade itself. Love parades Him. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. In other words, when you meet with a person who's got the fruit, you'll always see meekness. But hear me, meekness is not a sign of weakness. Meekness is a sign of love. Come on, I said meekness is a sign of love. And when you love, you're meek. Come on, when you're meek, you're not full of yourself. You cannot be meek and puffed up. Am I speaking to you? It says, it does not seek its own. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Amen. Truth is a sign of fruit. Amen. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's powerful. That's love. So you need a fruit, and the fruit is just a sign that you've been with the Lord. Every single character points of God start here. Now all of a sudden you start to love like He loves. You walk like He walks. You talk like He talks. And this is where the scripture says that Enoch walked with God and he was no more, for his faith pleased God in such a manner that God just took him. I want to be known as a man of faith. Come on. I want the gift of faith, but I want the fruit more. Because one day soon I'm going to have to stand before Him and give account. I don't want to hear that voice say, I don't know you. But Lord, I've cast out demons in your name. Who are you? I don't know you. But Lord, I'm the one who prophesied in your name. Who are you? I don't know you. I want to be the one who stands before him full of the fruit of the Spirit. Come on. Come on. You need the fruits. Come on, brother. You need the fruits. So the longer you spend time with the Lord, the more fruit develops. Fruit only comes through abiding in him. This is, if you are intimate with God, you're not intimidated by man. If you're intimate with God, you're not intimidated by man. Because you've been with him. You've been with the Lord. Come on, you've been with the Lord. You've been with the Lord. And this is why Thomas said, and this is the key. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In other words, the fruit of faith, the one who's been with Jesus says, Lord, I believe. I've seen you raise the dead. I've seen you heal the sick. But Lord, there's a flesh that needs to believe. I believe, help my unbelief. Spirit of faith comes on you for a reason and for a season, for ministry work. When devils are casted out, it's the gift of faith. Come on, help me out. When the dead is being raised, that's the gift of faith. Obviously, in operation of the gift of miracles, we understand this. But you always see the gift of faith when there's miracles happening. And that gift comes on you for that very moment because the Holy Spirit knows somebody needs a miracle. And you need that the vehicle that drives that miracle is the gift of faith. Then, the fruit of faith does not come through laying on hands. It comes by spending time, abiding in him. The gift comes through the anointing. It stirs up. And this is why I said, the anointing can come, it can stir up the gifts, and then the anointing leaves, but the gift is still in operation. The iPhone has been removed from the tree. But when the presence of God comes, it's because fruit has been manifested. And listen, it cannot be detached from that tree. This is Wednesday evening, I was standing there in the corner. After asking people if they want to leave, they can leave. Nobody wanted to go. I don't blame them. And I was just praying, I was asking the Lord, Lord, why? Because I seen everybody walk towards the front to get a tissue. But there was no more. It was empty boxes. And everybody, okay. And I said to the Lord, Lord, why is it so intense every single time? People cry their eyes out here. It's such a tangible presence. And do you know what the Lord said to me? He says, this is the difference between the power and the presence. The presence becomes like a hammer. And it knocks on a wall. It knocks on your heart. And suddenly, this heart of stone, the Holy Spirit changes it into a heart of flesh. And now you cry. I feel so good, but I cry. Do you know why you cry? Because suddenly, you stand in awe of the presence of God. You feel a love that you have never felt before. You feel like peace that surpasses all understanding because the Holy Spirit has just stepped in. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Suddenly all your problems just disappears. It fades away. And you don't know the person next to you behind you because you are just so hungry for God Almighty and He's stirring your heart. And when the Holy Spirit steps in, I promise you, faith stirs up in your spirit. Come on, faith stirs up. No man can be the same when the Holy Spirit has come. No man can stay the same when the Holy Spirit has come. He changes you. He's the one that changes you. This is why people need to understand, it's not by might, it's nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Why do you say this, vessel? Let me tell you, you can sit here and see miracles after miracles. It will not change your heart. I know people personally, family members that see miracles in my ministry and turned around and spoke against me because it didn't change them. They were crying because they were blown away. But afterwards, they tried to work it out. How does the miracles happen? Because it's not by might nor by power. Power does not change a heart. Power can destroy sickness and disease. Am I speaking to you? But sickness and disease can come back if you don't live your life right. But the Holy Spirit comes and He changes you. If you don't believe me, just go study the life of Peter. When he was with Jesus, he denied him 3 times. I don't know him. Judas sold him for 30 silver pieces. They saw the miracles. They saw the power. Come on, they saw the might. Jesus being transformed on the mountain. Elijah and Moses and Elijah right next to Jesus. It didn't change them. But Jesus said to them, there will come a time where you will understand what I've been telling you all the time. And you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When they met with the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2, they were changed forever. Amen. They were no longer the same. This is why it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And when the presence of God comes in because of the fruits, this is changing. You start to fall in love with Him all over again. You just hear that name of Jesus and you want to just cry. Yes. Have you ever noticed when you fall in love, then you don't eat? Okay, come on. Does it happen here? Oh, I'm so in love. You live with brood and water, of liefde and water. There's no food. You don't want to eat. The only thing is your maag dry. You've got butterflies and elephants and you just see hearts everywhere you go. But I want to tell you, when you fall in love with Jesus, just that name. Just that name. Oh, it's all over again. I've asked the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, why do I feel butterflies before I go on the stage and preach? Why do I feel this? He says, that's a sign that you're in love. Amen. And I'm so in love with Him. My God, I'm so in love with Him. We need the fruit. People will not see the gifts, they will see the fruit. And that you will be known by the fruit that you bear. And I'm not dissing the gifts. My God, I love the gifts. But one thing that the Lord placed upon me is that we need to ask Him, let the fruit be a display in my life. And when the fruit comes, it's not about me. If somebody opens their mouth, you will know if they're full of the fruit or full of self. Because the fruit will always point back to the Christ. Because it does not puff up. It's not for self. It's for Him. Now, the scripture says that every single one was born with a measure of faith. This is what people don't understand. Faith is faith. It just comes in different measures, different levels. Romans 1 says from faith to faith. Jesus said He was speaking about you of little faith, you of no faith. Come on, He was speaking about great faith, perfect faith. This is what the Bible speaks about. And He thought was speaking about a dead faith, faith that's dead. And this is being spoken about the measures of faith. Remember I said to you on Wednesday evening, if you have to trust God for 10,000 and your neighbor needs to trust God for 100,000, it's the same thing for God. The only difference is there's another note. But God does not call reinforcements and say, we've got a problem in heaven. Faithful to the end. He didn't stop because the weather was bad or because there were some bad times. He followed Him. And just before Elijah was caught up, he said, what can I do for you? He said, I'm asking you for a double portion. He says, you don't know what you're asking for. It's a hard thing. But if you see me go, you grab the man. Long story short, Elijah, there was a woman, a widow woman that took care of Elijah. The widow was assigned. God assigned the widow to the man of God. Do you hear what I'm telling you? He assigned the widow. The widow in today's time can come in any shape and form. You can be a guy and be the widow. The widow is the one that brings the provision. But Elijah was also assigned by God for the widow. The widow helped Elijah with an upper room. This is what the Bible says. She made an upper room for the man of God to stay in. She fed him. She took care of him. And he helped her need. She had no more lack. In fact, I prophesied this just the other hour. I say this again. For every single widow that has been faithful with what God has assigned you with, you will not ever be in need of oil. All right. Your oil jar will never run dry. The flour will not cease. God will take care of you. But why do I say this? Because Elisha received double as much as Elijah. If you study scripture, you'll see Elisha also had a widow. She also prepared for him an upper room. Why? Because his spiritual father, whatever was on his life, came upon them. Amen. In other words, the favor of Elijah came on Elisha. The doors that opened for Elijah opened twice as much for Elisha. Amen. Somebody listening to me? Amen. So I'm telling you this. Why do they want to give me this building for absolutely nothing? Because of the favor. Yes, amen. Did you just get what I'm telling you? So they said to me, get 4.5 million and then you pay the debt. So we got it from the bank. We've got what's outstanding. And the bank said, you only need 3.7 million. That was a miracle already. And then we started praying. I said, Lord, where will I get 3.7 million rand? And in actual fact, I want to help you with faith, how faith operates. I wanted to buy this place. I haven't spoken to the owner. And I woke up one morning with this on my heart, and I heard the Lord say to me, 4.5 million. You'll buy the place for 4.5 million. And I said, okay, now I need 4.5 million. I came to the church. I said, church, we're going to buy this place for 4.5 million. I haven't spoken to the owner. I know what the Lord said to me. Now, that's the gift of faith. The gift of faith steps into places where other people first wants to see, because the cloud is not for the man of God. The cloud is for the servants. The man of God announces rain before the clouds is in the sky. And afterwards, I spoke to the owner. I said, I want to buy the place. He said, I can't sell you the place. I want to give you the place, but you have to pay the debt, and it's almost 4.5 million. Exactly as God showed me in the morning. And so I've released my faith for 4.5 million, trusted the Lord, and then the bank came back and said, no, you only need 3.7 million. So I was praying and I said, Lord, we need breakthrough. And do you know what happened? We sowed seeds and suddenly 1 million rand came in. And we needed 2.7 million. And just the other night I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, we need 2.7 million, it's huge. And the Lord said to me, for who? Why is it so quiet now? It's a big amount of two. Two is it big? It depends who you ask. If you ask me, it's 2.7 big, absolutely. Lord, it's 2.7 million big. To me belong all the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver and the gold is mine, says the Lord. So I said to the Lord, now I'm going to walk in faith. And do you know what happens? I said, Lord, maybe I have to stretch my faith a bit. Maybe I need more faith. And exactly what I said, I need more faith, the Lord allowed it. Because if you say, just give me this bottle. If you say, Lord, I need faith, God doesn't do this. And say, okay, yes, faith. I was just checking his faith. So God doesn't do this and say, receive faith. God allows you to go through stuff that will stretch your faith. And most of the times when you receive a prophetic word, you'll have to go through that hardships. So from faith to faith. The measure of faith. Everybody was born with the measure. Say with me, I was born with a measure. Why do I say this? Because that measure of faith is the very thing that believes that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. That's not the gift of faith. Come on, that's not the fruit of faith. That's the measure of faith. And you believe everybody was born with a measure of faith. And that measure of faith can grow. It can grow from faith to faith. Amen. Come on, am I speaking to you? Remember when Jesus said to the centurion, when the centurion said, Lord, come to my house and heal my servant. Or Jesus said, I'll come to your house. And he said, no, don't go to come to my house. You just speak the word. And Jesus said, such a great faith have I never seen. Great faith. Great faith is faith that does not need to see. You believe it because he said it. Amen. You don't need my hands to be laid on you. You need to touch the hem of his garment and you shall be changed forevermore. Come on, I need to stir somebody in this place. The woman with the issue of blood. She had no power, no money. And something happened. She crawled. Why did she crawl? Because she had no power. She was weak. And as she crawled through, she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. Jesus asked his disciples, who touched me? And I said, Lord, how can you ask us who touched you? Many are pushing. And Jesus said, I know somebody touched me because virtue left my body. Study what it means. It says the anointing, the power of God left me. Everybody touched him. Not Jesus didn't ask once who touched me. When a woman touched him, he said, who touched me? Because the touch of the woman was a different touch. It was a touch of faith. Come on, it was a touch of desperation. And when that faith, come on, what does it say? It says the earnest prayer of the righteous avails much. She was earnestly. Didn't stop. She touched him. I promise you, every single time the Lord comes through for you, your faith goes from faith to faith. When the Lord heals you, from faith to faith. Amen, am I speaking to you? And you go from faith to faith, and this is how your spiritual life is growing in the Lord. This is why many people still stay on milk and the rest is eating meat, because God has taken you from faith to faith. I promise you, every hard time, when you go through it, it builds your faith. It takes you into another dimension of faith. But one thing I need to speak to you, I need to speak to this to you, to straight of you, to the very point of your heart. The Lord will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you go through a desert, he'll be there. If you're on the mountain, he will be there. He will never leave you. He didn't bring you this far to turn his back on you. Am I speaking to you right now? He didn't bring you this far. Even if you go through the fire, he'll go through the fire with you. And many people, and this is the saddest part of it all, people hear this message right now, and the enemy comes and he steals the seed that is supposed to fall into your heart. But for those who's grabbing on this word and say, Lord, this man is speaking to me this morning, I'm here to tell you, what are you facing right now? It will also pass. You'll go through it and you will make it. He'll not leave you. I don't care how bad it looks. I tell you right now, Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never ever fail you. And if he said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Come on. I need to speak to someone. I need to stir your faith up in this place. Don't allow the devil to steal this word from you right now. You better take it in and say, Lord, this is mine. And you can operate in all the gift of faith. And the gift of faith come upon you to do radical things for Christ. Thank you, George. The gift of faith comes to become crazy for the King of Kings. You start to do things that you never thought in your life will do. You'll put a finger in somebody's ear and pull it out, and the deafness goes. Come on, you'll go and lay your hands on a deaf person and stuff already, and the power of God searches through that body and they sit up straight, and suddenly, whoa, what just happened? I tell you what happened. The gift of faith was in operation, and heaven came down. The gift of faith draws heaven down in our midst. This is why Paul says, now faith, now, not tomorrow. I don't need a miracle tomorrow. I need it now. So what happens? The gift of faith comes. It sweeps across the place, and suddenly heaven comes down. Jesus said, pray as it is in heaven, so it shall be on earth. There's no worries in heaven. Why do we worry now? Because we walk by sight and not by faith. People are moved by what they feel. Faith is not feeling. Faith is a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact that he will never leave you. It's a fact that nothing is impossible for the one who believes. Come on, it's a fact that all things are possible. Come on, it's a fact that nothing shall be impossible for the one who believes. Come on, it's a fact that if you drink something deadly, that he'll protect you. It's a fact that you will trample on scorpions and on serpents, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Come on, it's a fact that if you go through the fire, you'll find him in the fire. It's a fact when a storm is raging, he'll be the one who commands the storm, peace, be still. It's a fact that he's a miracle worker. It's a fact. Come on, it's a fact that he's the author and the finisher of faith. It's a fact that there's no man like Jesus. No matter where you go, you'll never find one as true, as pure, as holy, as powerful. Come on, as marvelous, as mighty, as the man Jesus Christ. It's a fact that he is the Alpha and the Omega. It's a fact that he's the beginning and the end. It's a fact that he's the healer. It's a fact that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. It's a fact that he died for you on the cross. And it's a fact on the third day he rose in victory and he's coming back in power. It's a fact. It's a fact that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's a fact that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Hare Krishna, not Mohammed. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Stir up that faith that is inside of you and say, I'm coming towards the sea. I'm coming towards the storm. In the name of Jesus, peace, be still. You've got mountains in front of you, remove it. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to remove it. He says, if you have faith, you will be able to remove the mountains. My God, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. We need faith. We need faith. Faithful men of God. Faithful woman of God. Who agrees with me, I will not leave as I came in Jesus' name. Come on, who agrees with me, I will not leave as I came in Jesus' name. Stir up the gift that's within you. Come on, the fruit of faith. Spend time in the courts of glory. The longer you spend time, the more you sound like him, the more your childlike faith grows, you attach to him, then he says, nothing will be impossible. Everything that you ask for, it shall be done. The measure of faith, it comes by one way. Faith comes by the word of God, by hearing the word. And hearing the word of God. So the more you hear the word, what happened just now, what happened in this place? Faith stirred up. Something stirred in your heart right now. Because you've heard faith. Come on, you heard the word of God. Now that measure of faith is almost bursting. We are not those people who believe that our God is dead. Our God is alive. And He's seated next to the Father. Come on, seated in glory. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. And nothing is impossible for Him. If you believe that nothing is impossible, lift those hands quickly. If you believe that nothing. I pray this morning that your faith shall not fail you. As every eye is closed, hear me. When you walk in faith, you have to change your mouth. You have to change your confession. Every single trial that you go through, you have to rejoice because you're going through trials. Because trials changes your vision. Trials forces you to look to the promises of God. Maybe you're sitting in this place, you're going through a trial this morning. I want you to be with good cheer, be at good cheer and praise God. For your vision is about to change. And when that vision changes, your confession starts to change. You change the things you say. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things, not certain things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe you feel like Lazarus, your situation is dead for 4 days. The drier the bones, saints, the greater the miracles. Sometimes you have to come to a place where your life is stinking. It feels like everything is working against you. That's when God steps in. As I'm going to show you how faithful and how good I am. And He, come on, can you hear it? Open those ears of faith. Can you hear that voice? Lazarus, come forth. Come on, can you hear Jesus calling the dead stuff in your life and say, arise in the name of Jesus? I declare this as the servant of God. You will not, if you receive this word, you'll not leave as you came. You will not leave as you came. You will not leave. You'll start to move in faith because that's the only thing that pleases Him. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll change every mindset. That people will stop seeing you as the God it will be, but that they will know you as the great I am, the God of the now. He's the God that takes your impossible situation and He turns it around and He makes it possible. There's a heavy presence of the Lord. 2 minutes and the presence of God is going to fill this room. Can I ask everyone just to stand to their feet? God puts great men of God in our lives, but God does not want us to have faith in the men of God, but have faith in the God of that man. And this morning I pray in the name of Jesus that your faith will not be in man, but you'll reach out in faith. And when you reach out in faith, you'll pass by many people just to touch you, just to touch your household. You see, this morning is not going to be forced on you. It's coming through that hunger. I pray this morning that the spirit of faith will start to dominate your life. I pray that the fruit of faith shall be shown in your life. And you'll grow in the measures of faith. You'll go from faith to faith. Lift those voices. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Come on, guys, everything is different now. The atmosphere is changing. The Spirit of God is here. He's calling a church who's desperate and hungry for Him. He says, Lord, I will not leave you, not until you've blessed me. This morning I'm not leaving this place.